Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Paperboy.
No idea.
Nothing?
Nothing.
I've got
Let
nothing.
Let me tell you, this nothing. Game was impossible and amazing.
Was the concept of the game you were a paperboy delivering papers?
Yes.
Sounds like a fun game.
You were riding your bike.
Real fun.
And you'd have to time your speed and throw the paper at the house, and you'd get points if you got in the mailbox or if you broke a window or a dog would chase you. And after you got through a block, you'd go over a highway and go into like a bike park and go over jumps. And this game, I don't know anybody out there ever made it longer than like a minute and a half. It's one of those games where presumably there were more boards, but you know, I put a quarter in, I'd fall off my bike or get hit by a car. Hitting that paper in that mailbox, boom, 500 points. You're like, oh.
Right.
Amazing. Paperboy.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Jeremy and Joe. Joe's out today. Hanging out with you on a snowy Wednesday. Bills and Patriots. A little self-conscious right now talking about the Chiefs, because one guy like 2 days ago said, I can't believe you guys are talking about the Chiefs, as if the Chiefs like aren't relevant to us and, you know, like in the AFC and everything. But there is currently a conversation. I saw Sal just tweeting this moments ago. If you're online at all, which, you know what, sometimes it's better not to be. But other times the debates are, you know, well-informed people talking about what's happening to the NFL and in the NFL and blah, blah, blah. And if there's a team right now that the NFL analysts are ready to perform the autopsy on, or right, you're in biology. But here's a question for you: do kids still like dissect animals in biology class? You still do that, like dissect a frog? Does that still happen?
Yeah. Anatomy. There were cats at my high school. They dissected.
What?
Yeah, cats.
Cats.
Yeah.
All right.
I.
This took a turn.
Man.
All right, Joe, tell us more.
I didn't take the class. I had friends who did it.
You dissected a cat?
That was if you took anatomy, that was like the step up. So they were cats.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I mean, we did frogs and worms.
I did frogs and bio, but then the step up.
I did a frog.
You're like, I need something bigger. I need to cut into something real.
A cat is gnarly, though.
I don't. Man. What were we talking about?
I don't even know.
No, I do. So, the cat is the Chiefs. Like, everyone wants to cut them open and say, what's happened? And there's a classic thing that we all do, and we know we do this, and it's not even to say it's wrong. Hypothetically, the Bills lose in the playoffs to Team X, and you don't even have to see the game. You know if it's because their offense sputters, then those of us that think, well, the wide receivers and the scheme, like it wasn't good, are going to go back and like, look, there are all these signs here, 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 and here, and then here and here. Or if it the defense that lets them down, the people that think that's a consistent problem, like, well, we knew it was going to happen here, 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 here. What I'm getting at is Marcus Mosier, who was on the show maybe a week ago. I was off. So Marcus Mosier's on the show with Joe, and he pointed out last night that Patrick Mahomes' passer rating pre and post Tyreek Hill, there's a significant drop off. His yards per attempt is down a full point, and his passer rating is down 14 points. And those are 3-year sample sizes. That post Tyreek Hill, he's not the same guy. And he wrote that the last 3 years of Mahomes in the regular season have been fine, but it is fair to say he is no longer the best quarterback in the NFL. All right? We've kind of been saying that as we've watched Josh Allen ascend, what he did in the offense last year, even with, I think, a very tame take that the Bills' pass catchers are not, you know, generally highly sought after and thought to be premier. Let's leave it there. So then I just want to go like this is the online debate happening about the Chiefs as they dissect this cat. Matt Verderame, who I believe he covers the Chiefs, NFL staff writer and the football show on the Kansas City Sports Network. He says, Mahomes has been working in a torture chamber of bad receivers and scheme, and it's led the Chiefs to 3 Super Bowls during that span with 2 titles. Marcus Mosier responds, Josh Allen has a lot of the same issues and he continues to solve them. Mahomes has had the better career. Allen is the better quarterback right now. And then backing all the way out, like you know how you click a couple of clicks in a Twitter thread arguing between, I've now zoomed all the way back. And Ted Wynn says the difference between the Bills, how the Bills solved their issues, the 2 high issues, and how the Chiefs did, is the Bills committed to building a run game and struck out on receivers, and the Chiefs doubled down on their passing attack and struck out on wide receivers. And I also saw yesterday a comparison of Worthy and Coleman, and the line was something to the effect of, Xavier Worthy is protected from criticism because Coleman's been so bad that no one notices that Worthy's bad. So, like, I want to zoom out one more, because I do think that this is ultimately what has happened. Since the 13 seconds game where Mahomes and Allen put on that unbelievable show, both of these teams decided that their quarterback could be otherworldly and some pieces around them could be allowed to kind of, all right, we'll take from here and invest here. We'll invest less at receiver and more in defensive line because it's the defense that's our problem. That's what the Bills have done. The Chiefs did this also. The Chiefs trade Tyreek Hill. What do they do? They take a full draft and they put it on the defensive side of the ball, and they build a better defense than they'd had in years past. And zooming all the way back, I've got Brett Coleman, who does the Bootleg podcast and a great NFL film guy. Like his big takeaway a couple weeks ago when the Bills were kind of in their little malaise and the Chiefs were as well, was that the AFC power brokers, Bills, Chiefs, Ravens even, they all kind of got happy with their quarterback and decided this guy can do a lot. We don't have to have certain things that other teams have. And Allen and Mahomes both are able to carry that. Like Mahomes carried it through, as Matt Verderame pointed out, to Super Bowls. And here's Allen kind of carrying it out right now. He's got a good run game that backs him up. And after that, like, listen, if the Bills win the Super Bowl with Brandon Cooks and Gabe Davis on the outside, like, that'll be amazing. The trophy won't be any different color or any shinier. Like, you win, you win. Whoever you win with, it doesn't really matter. You win, right? Win the Super Bowl, go do it. And you just wonder what the Chiefs' response will be here. They have Rice and Kelce and Worthy and Hollywood Brown. But how does that look right now as a group? Like, Rice is good. Worthy is a role player, like he's supposed to be a role player. And all of a sudden, like the Chiefs, we got to this part of dissecting the cat. And, oh, yeah, look, we've had a problem the whole time. It's just that Patrick Mahomes has been covering it up. And that seems to be the conversation around the Chiefs. They've never been good at running the ball. Now they actually have to pay for it. In previous years, when they went to the Super Bowl, they were not that good at running the ball. They never seemed to care about it. And it looks like they thought they could continue to get away with that, and they didn't. And this is where, you know, credit to the Bills, to Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, Joe Brady, like they have not let it wither in both directions. They have this run game they can lean on. The question is, you know, when they get into a game script where they're going to need some more than that, can they continue to throw the ball? Can they find their answers in the passing game? And, you know, we will see. Bean says all the time, or maybe he said it once and we just say it all the time. That's probably more likely. He said it once, we say it all the time. That however you lose your last game kind of shows you where you were missing something, which I think that's probably not exactly a real thing you should do. I would guess he might not even do that either. But whatever, like in that game, your flaws might be exposed, and that's, you know, reasonable. So when's the Chiefs' last game? Is it Sunday? Is it against the Chargers? If they lose on Sunday, they are out. And the Bills' last game, like, that'll be a playoff game. We'll see where that is. But what's most likely to get them exposed? Don't we already know? It's going to be receiver talent or defensive line can't get a pass rush because they're missing so many guys and, you know, it might have been modest anyway. Linebacker issues, depth secondary. Like, we kind of know what might take them down. We know what might carry them through. But the conversation on the Chiefs is fascinating. All of a sudden, it's like, you know what? Now that we think about it, they really have missed Tyreek Hill, which is, of course, years ago. 803-0550. Nick in Tampa. Hey, Nick, good morning.
Hey, Jeremy, what's going on, buddy? thanks for taking my call, listening to your show. I got a step for you. I wanted to run by you because I know you talked about, you know, the screen passes of the wide receivers, and I think we all know the efficiency of the wide receivers hasn't gone according to plan this year. Looking up a stat, and I saw the number 18. So when James Cooks gets 18 or more carries, Bills are 7-0. When he gets less than 18, 2-4. So my question is, do you think sometimes when the game plan doesn't go according to plan with Joe Brady, he kind of abandons the run early? Because I think, you know, 18 carries is a reasonable number for James Cook. You know, he hit 32 against the Steelers. I don't think anyone wants that. But just trying to hear from you, if you think, you know, that's one way to break down the defenses we're playing is run the game. And we're seeing success when our superstar gets the ball 18-plus touches.
Well, Nick, there's going to be stats on running backs that are correlative and not causal. Correlational, not causal. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for, some version of that. You know, if it's as easy as that, we should hand it off to him 18 times right off the bat and win the game, which I know is like not what you're saying. I do think there have been a couple games where they got away from Cook and they shouldn't have. And that's probably Houston and Atlanta, where I should check his game logs. Are those two where he didn't have 18 carries? Because Atlanta's a big one. Atlanta, they came out in the second half and they gave him the ball and it was working. Against Atlanta, he had 17 carries, which is probably why we like mark it right at 18. Against New England, he had 15. Against Atlanta, he had 17. Against another loss here, Houston, he had 17. Like, it's very clearly a cherry-picked stat to say 18, because if I make the number 17, I get two more losses. If I can make it 15, I get three losses. And Miami had 13. I mean, they're down 17 points. This is game script. Often. Like, what game did he have the best yards per carry? Carolina. What did he have his worst yards per carry? Tampa. They won both those games. They gave him the ball 16 times against Tampa. He had 48 yards. Why'd they win? Because they could throw it, you know? So each game has its own DNA, as Sal likes to say. And they need to lean on Cook. This is a big game for Cook. This is a big lean on James Cook game. And what they need from James Cook is, of course, his best, and also to not fumble. Like, four fumbles the last two games for Cook, that's a big number. That's not something that, put it this way, if they had another running back they felt better about, you might see that running back get more carries. I was happy to see Cook go back in late in the game against Cincinnati and still get carries, even after fumbling twice. He lost one. The other one went out of bounds and, I mean, was nearly costly by going through the end zone. But, you know, Cook the last couple weeks, it's funny, like, success rate matters, right? As we get into the advanced stats era, not that you wanted me to go in this direction, but, like, there are a couple that make a ton of sense to use. And here's one. Yards per carry. What does yards per carry really tell me? But I know that he carried it 18 times for 84 yards. Okay, that's how many yards per carry. I don't know if he ran it once for 79 and the other 17 were just like run stuffs. I don't really know that. I don't know what I get out of that. So like yards per carry would be one we used in the past. Success rate, if you ever hear people using success rate, let me tell you what it is. If you already know, sorry for this explanation, as you already know this, but success rate to me makes a lot of sense as a measure for a passing game, a measure for a running game. It basically takes down and distance into it. So it's first and 10. What's a successful run? It is 50% of the yards you need. If it's a first and 10, a successful run gets you 5. So a 4.4 yards per carry is fine. That's not a successful run on first and 10. 4.4 yards on second and 4 is a successful run. So down and distance determines success rate. 50% of the yards on first down is a successful run. 70% of the yards on second down is a successful run. And on third down, it is 100%. So if you have a third and 6 and hand it off, not many teams hand it off on third and 6. You have a third and 17. Let's do this. You have a third and 17, and you do the obligatory, my quarterback is bad, I'm going to have a draw play, hand it off, the guy runs for 12 yards. That will help his statistics. But that's not a successful run, and the defense would have said going in, like, oh, absolutely, you can have those 12 yards. So that's a spot where, like, advanced statistics can really help. And on success rate, like, where do the Bills rank with this, with James Cook and success rate and yards over expectation? Like, these things, to me, those matter a little bit more than yards per carry or even rushing attempts. Like, I don't want a team to show up and just, like, run it into the line 30 times to make a point. If you run it and it doesn't work, what you're doing, especially if you're the Bills, is it gets back to the earlier conversation. If you run it and it doesn't work and you're doing it just because you feel like you need to establish it, those are snaps that Josh Allen does not get to do anything with the football, right? So it's interesting. Like, I think Cook will get 18 carries this week. I think mainly he will because it'll be like the Steelers game where it's just going to work. They're going to be in good shape. New England's defense last 4 weeks since losing their stud tackle on the inside, Milton Williams, their stud defensive tackle, like they just give up more than 120 rushing yards per game now, which is something that their calling card earlier in the season was, we don't give up rushing yards. And now they do. Which, like, that's where I get to, we might get our first ever, maybe, Drake May, Josh Allen, juggernaut, haymaker match. Imagine we get May and Allen doing what Burrow and Allen did last week, minus the pick six, which was pretty rough for Burrow. But imagine we get that, just back and forth, and you know, like, without that second interception from Epinesa, are the Bengals just going to score and take the lead back? Like, the Bills got the sequence there to get back-to-back picks. Like, the number of possessions you got in a row and chances to score you got in a row is huge, absolutely huge. And it's how you won the game. Will May make the same mistake? Well, he certainly doesn't have Ja'Marr Chase. He certainly doesn't have T. Higgins out there making otherworldly catches for him. But we could see our first ever, like, back and forth juggernaut matchup. It'd be great. Anyway, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us, Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for calling. I mean, on Cook, like, he's important. He's important. I also get nervous, like, maybe this is just my desire to, as someone who's on the air a lot, and if you say something, people say you jinx it. I always want to, like, knock on wood for a million things. Whenever we talk about players are going to come back from injury, I'm like, knock on wood, and we hope everybody else stays back from injury because guys continue to get hurt, right? Kincaid picked up an injury and missed a couple of games after he had already been banged up and came back. And, you know, Christian Benford at the start of the season had a groin issue. All right, good. Let's hope that doesn't come back. For Bosa, it's a hamstring, and that could come back. Those can be tricky. So, like, yes, get Bosa back and then find a way to, you know, keep him back. But I like their chances in the AFC. I like their chances. I think there are a couple teams that could win it, and it doesn't go – the one thing is it doesn't go through Kansas City anymore. We'll see if Kansas City gets back in. But the race itself, man, AFC standings. Houston and Buffalo, I think, are good. They are in. If you want that seventh spot, you got to tell me who's going to get it. It's the Chargers or the Chiefs. And the Chargers have the same game this week that the Patriots do, which is we can kind of put down this team that's owned us to another level. For the Chargers, they can put the Chiefs all the way out. And for the Patriots, they can put the Bills on the road in the playoffs. So the two challengers here have a spot. The Chargers and the Patriots have a big spot with three games left, a chance to kind of slay the giant that lives in their yard. So even though for the Chargers it wouldn't be winning the division, it would be big. It'd be, all right, Denver, go play Denver. The other thing is this, like, of the current fatal flaws these teams have, there are a couple that I think the teams have and just you cannot overcome it. And I do think the Chargers have one they cannot overcome. I do not think they can overcome what's happened on their offensive line. They've lost too many offensive linemen. Herbert has to run for his life, and I don't think they can make it through. If they were healthy, they might be a good team that could do some damage in the playoffs. But the way their offensive line is right now, they're going to meet somebody. If they meet the Texans in the playoffs, if they meet even the Jaguars in the playoffs, like, I just think they can't hold up. So you have your teams where you might not, I don't like this position group, I think this might be a weakness. And then you have some that are just, oh, it's so bad, I think that will kill their season. And I think the Chargers have that. They just don't have enough on the offensive line to protect for Herbert. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, no Joe today here on a wintry Wednesday. Joe Marino of the Lockdown Bills podcast, we'll grab him tomorrow. He'll jump on tomorrow. So missed him today. We'll grab him tomorrow as part of our Thursday coverage leading into Bills and Patriots. Practice today, a walkthrough. Stay tuned, of course. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up. And as we get information on who might be coming back, injury designations, they kind of have to estimate the injury designations because it's a walkthrough. But, you know, we'll see who's trending in what direction. You can give us a ring, too. 803-0550 here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, they did a good job changing some of the roster over and bringing in some players, especially along the defensive front, perimeter players, wide receiver-wise and whatnot. And, you know, they're well-coached. They do a really good job, Mike does, and Josh McDaniels, and across their coaching staff. You can just feel a difference in what they've done and how they're doing things. And, you know, we have a ton of respect, obviously, for the way that they've played this year in particular.
Sean McDermott on the Patriots and their staff. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Bills and Pats. Bulldog likes to call them the Pats. Used to call them the Patsies to be funny.
None of this is true.
Now you're just back to Pats. They're not the Patsies anymore. I'm on McDermott's Pro Football Reference page.
What are his nicknames?
Great. That's a perfect question. There aren't any. His middle name is Michael. There aren't any nicknames listed here. Does he have one that you know of?
Wow, I don't know, but just I can hear a mom yelling, Sean Michael McDermott!
Yeah.
Like that really rolls.
That's why you give him that name.
That is exactly why you give him that name. That really works.
Michael Alexander Schoep. Margot Rita Schoep. Get over here. Bagel Schoep, get over here.
No.
I'm a toy. I'm a stuffed bagel. I can't get over here. Yeah. I need a ride. I can't move.
Yeah.
Why are you yelling at me for being a bagel?
The dog is my transportation.
The dog
system.
Is my only hope. Why don't you get up and move me here? You're so mad. On the page, however, 2025 challenges, McDermott, zero.
All right.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I believe it. I just...
There aren't as many challenges anymore because of the moon ref. But
they get stuff done themselves.
There are still sometimes. Some.
Yeah, there are.
He hasn't challenged a play this year?
Hmm.
Or is that just not updated? Can anybody think of a McDermott challenge this year? Pro Football Reference says there have been none. Five last year, one of which was overturned.
I don't have at the ready examples of, because wouldn't, I feel like they would stand out if for only the reason that someone on postgame or at some point, like we would hear someone complaining about a missed challenge. Like, what was he doing with that? So I'm gonna buy the zero because I don't feel like that's happened this year.
I'll look up some other coaches just to make sure these are not just all zeros.
You know, there've been timeouts here and there that you could quibble with. They had to burn a time. Did you notice this? I mean, it's all glory, right? Gravy. I mean, really more than gravy. Glory. Benford, that play, they had to call timeout before the extra point. Like, I think the celebration went on for so long that they were in danger of the play clock running out, and they called a timeout. They barely acknowledged it. I don't even know if the broadcast crew said it, but I heard the official say, first charge timeout, Buffalo. And I remember remarking to Owen, like, this is a close game. They could use that. They had to burn it because they're in the stands?
There was also a sequence where Cincinnati called timeout, I believe, on a 2nd and 10. Which, that's debatable. What are your odds versus 2nd and 15, you know? And then they got to 3rd and 4, and the Bills' defense called timeout on 3rd and 4, which was like, you know, this is sort of an embarrassing little sequence here, but somebody told me online that they had 10 men on the field, which is not better than having to call the timeout. I mean,
but it explains, the timeout.
Explains the timeout,
right,
but
right.
You don't want to have to call timeouts because you don't have the right guys on the
and
field.
And I'm honestly bringing this one up about the after the Benford return. If I'm right about that, I should look in the play-by-play to make sure, but I'm almost positive I heard it. And they were dinged a timeout, so I think it really happened. It's not that I don't think that's McDermott's fault. I mean, if everybody's partying in the end zone and no one's lined up for the extra point, I mean, you don't want to be pushed back. I don't know, it's 5 yards, right? Delay a game, so maybe you could argue that you should have just taken the penalty, but they took a timeout there. I'm pretty sure.
You did. You're right. That was the second one. Mine was the first one early in the fourth quarter. That was the second one.
All right.
5:25 to go.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Mike is with us. Hello, Mike.
How you doing, guys? Happy holidays.
Yeah, same to you, Mike. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. I just want to say, you know, I'm happy we won. Yes. Last week. And, you know, the Kansas City lost. That's good for us. Indy lost. That's good for us. I just want to get your thoughts and comments about New England and New England, the 10-0, I forgot the record, but when we beat them and Cleveland we got and who are you, Philadelphia? I think this is our year.
Well, okay. I will just say again, the Bills will not have an easy time getting to first place, even if they win Sunday. If they lose Sunday, they have no chance at it. So they're going to have to get help from the Dolphins or the Jets to have any chance at it. And without the division, you're going on the road, which doesn't have to mean they'll lose, but much tougher than home field and a bye. That is almost out of the realm of possibility. It's not, but almost. So that's what this game,
right.
That's what this game is about, staying alive in the AFC East. Because I don't think 5 versus 6 versus 7 really matters that much, honestly.
Right now, it's impossible to differentiate one from the other because the seedings are going to change so much.
You don't know who you play.
Five on Monday, I'm like, I love 5. I've got Pittsburgh right now. Great, sign me up. By Monday night or early Tuesday morning when the Monday Night Football game ended, okay, no, I don't. I've got Jacksonville. Okay, that's still okay. This is fine. But if 4 ends up being Baltimore, which is still very possible, then 5 isn't that desirable. Yeah, it's just it's very complicated.
If 4 ends up being Baltimore, and I notice you're wearing your Ravens sweatshirt today, if 4 ends up being Baltimore, they're going to be hot. Like, they're going to have beaten Pittsburgh.
They're going to come in on a heater.
On the road.
That's right.
Maybe Green Bay the week before.
Yeah.
They're going in winning at least 3 or 4 probably, and that Steeler game to go home for the playoffs against a Bills team that they probably think they can or should beat. given week one, given last year. I mean, imagine what that would mean to the Ravens to get the Bills in that game.
Yeah.
After two playoff losses to them and the opener, they'd have a chance right there to redeem a lot of it that's gone wrong for them. But there's a long way to go before that, happens. Is that a Raven shirt?
Yeah, no, this is an old Pink Flamingo shirt. So
it's purple. Why isn't it pink then?
Because, good question.
Why wouldn't a Pink Flamingo shirt be pink?
The paint
makes sense.
That was on the exterior of the building was this color. At least a lot of it was this color. So that's why. The logo, the purple and the flames and all that, that was their paint scheme.
I like
this
a purple.
This is the color scheme of the old pink when it burned.
I like a purple front.
Yeah, I'm all right with it. I mean, I don't have a lot of purple going, but mm-hmm. I'm happy with it. Yeah.
You mentioned Monday night, so it's Dolphins Steelers is the Monday night game. It's likely to be very cold for that game and a few others. Maybe even ours. I haven't looked today, but Buffalo, it's a road game. The forecast here for Sunday is like high of 20. I know Chicago, which has the Browns,
right,
is looking at a high of 10 and a wind chill factor. So that could be brutal. There's still a month to go in the season. And we're looking at a week where, I mean, who else is going to be home? I don't know the whole schedule from memory. But, you know, you'd think there might be several teams, including the Steelers, to end the weekend Monday night. That's Tua in freezing conditions. He's never won a game like that.
Foxborough, Mass, advanced forecast Sunday, 70% chance of snow, high of 31 is what we've got here. Let me see what...
Not cruel.
Right. Looks like snow almost right up to game time. So morning, like 6 a.m. to noonish. It looks like they're forecasting
for now.
Snow. For now, right. It's you know, a few days away still. Obviously.
Baltimore, Cincinnati could be cold then. Vegas, Philadelphia probably is super cold. Maybe even Chargers, Chiefs. Washington, Giants. You heard it here first. It might be cold out in numerous cities
in December
on Sunday, December 14th.
Yep.
They're breaking.
This is the show for you.
Break.
You need comprehensive weather analysis and or predictions.
You do, though. You didn't you needed it, but you did need it.
We are here for you.
Tony is next. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? Mike, you just referenced kind of the challenge of what this is going to look like if it has to be done on the road and the importance of this week's game to that. And I feel like a lot of the buzz around why, especially in the national media, people want to say that this – you know, could be the best look that the Bills have it without Mahomes or Lamar and Burrow in it. And I just feel like we're just kind of glossing over the fact that even if they get the dub this week, you know, we still have a real hard road to get a single home game. And it's like, all right, you know, maybe I'll even go as simple as to put it to you guys like this. Would you rather have an AFC championship game at Denver against a lesser quarterback like Bo Nix or at home against a Patrick Mahomes? Now, leave out of it that, you know, we'd love to say goodbye to the stadium a certain way and all that stuff. Just like I am more afraid of road games than I am great quarterbacks in my own building. True or false for you guys?
It depends. Is this scenario where they're the 7 and I'm the 5 and it just falls right, or am I the 1 in this scenario? Like, if I had a week off in this scenario, because I think I would take that for sure. Otherwise, I'm more the opposite of you, Tony. I'd rather go play Bo Nix and Sean Payton than deal with Patrick Mahomes.
Not me. I'm on Team Tony on this. Whether that's, I mean, it could be Nix or it could be May. I mean, Nix might be last on the... He might be the best name for this point, Nix, right?
Right, go play him.
I mean,
right.
Lawrence or Herbert or May even, I think, outrank him.
Oh, 100% in my opinion.
And maybe they're the team Maybe two or three of those teams are the teams. Yeah, I don't want to say what I say here, though, with the utmost conviction, because, like I said, I think I said yesterday, I'm not the biggest home road guy, but it's in my head a little bit right now with the Bills, because their bad days this year have all been road games. I mean, they lost to New England at home in a close one, but Atlanta and Houston and Miami were like beatdowns, and that's kind of new for this team.
And those were games where their offense just could not really function.
Yeah, so I think Denver looks like it would be a huge problem for their offense, because they're better than Atlanta and Miami and maybe even Houston defensively. This has just not been a team that has been able to, what is this to say, I guess? I mean, Denver's 11-2, right? But yeah, I said yesterday something very similar to what the caller just said, which is, don't gloss over that, as he put it. Just, that's what this is going to take. And I like it from a certain standpoint, because we've said many times how these long, you know, dynasties, if you will, not always is it the cleanest trip to the top.
It's not the best year that they've ever had that maybe they win it.
But that's a little bit of rationalization, you know, to try to mm-hmm. keep your chin up. That, well, sure, they can go beat Bo Nix. I don't know. I don't know. Like, Allen will have to be his absolute best, probably,
yeah,
to win in Denver. And this team gets run on so easily. That's Denver. That could be New England. That could be any of these teams. Like, they're all Harbaugh, Greg Roman.
They have been, but I feel like that's different since Shaq Thompson's been playing linebacker for them.
Okay, well, let's put him in.
It's only one dude, but they have really stabilized that. And the Bengals came in here on a heater running the ball and did nothing.
They didn't have to, but that's right.
They might have liked to. Maybe. I mean, you know, they had a lead. They instead of protecting the lead by being conservative, they were throwing on the Benford play.
Yeah. What is Oliver's outlook? Is he
like playoffs?
Is that a question for Sal?
I don't think there's.
Not yet?
Yeah, no, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Is it a question?
He's around the facility. I've seen videos of him, like no brace on, whatever, but I don't think he's. They've said all along, I think he's possible for the playoffs.
Sal joins us at 5. Thanks, Tony. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WG.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Yard.
The fact of the matter is, this version of the Bills should go to the Super Bowl. And there is an odd added pressure right now in Buffalo. If the tournament starts and Lamar's not in it, Joe's not in it, and Patrick's not in it, there is a pressure unlike any other year in the past and likely unlike any year in the future. Crazy Rhino Josh Allen is the scariest version.
Nick Wright. Talking about that the Bills should be the team in the Super Bowl this year. And that there might be more pressure, and I don't disagree with that. If Mahomes, Burrow, and Lamar Jackson are all out of the way, he sees pressure. I see opportunity.
You know what I see? The one seed.
How?
I've been crunching numbers. I'm writing a column about it. It'll be out tomorrow.
All right.
WGR550.com, some playoff scenarios and where the Bills could end up. Nothing is out of play, Derek. Nothing is out of play.
That is true, because the division's not dead. New England at 11-2. You win this game, New England's at 11-3. You're at 10-4. If Denver were to lose in the same weekend,
it changes everything. But also, even if that happens, the Ravens game means nothing. The games that mean the most are the divisional games. So if you're able to beat the Patriots and then one of the other two are able, in like Miami, that would flip the script entirely.
Denver does play the Green Bay Packers. That's not a gimme.
In Denver, though.
That's still not a gimme.
Yeah. But you know the craziest thing about these scenarios? I'll give you a little nugget here. The Bengals can make it as the 4 seed at 7-10.
So it's
actually wide open in a lot of ways here. So
if the Bengals win the division at 7-10.
Is that the worst division win of all time?
Yes.
That has to be.
But it also epitomizes what this season has been across the National Football League. And it's also where, like what I said about Nick Wright, he sees pressure, I see opportunity. I don't necessarily think that there's pressure in a different way because of the fact that this season has been so insane, so wild, and
schizophrenic.
I was going to say potentially on something that if they lose, it's going to hurt a lot, and it's probably going to upset people. And I think it's about reaction. It's not about pressure. I think that's the way to look at it. There's opportunity here, but that means that there's also opportunity for a lot of the clapback or the, you didn't get it done. Okay, maybe there are some changes that need to be made somewhere. Not going all fumigating on this team or anything like NBC Sports Boston wanted to do. That was a flex, by the way. He just wanted to say the word fumigate. I did it too.
That
makes two people in media that have said fumigate now.
That's what happens. That's what happens. All right, as they get an inch to walk on you, they step all over you. They curb stomp you.
Quick, I said fumigate. Give me my monocle and a cup of tea. I can feel fancy now. Fumigate, yes. What's wrong with me? But back to the point, New England's part of this field, though, where, yeah, if you win this game, even the 1 seed's not out of the question anymore, because if you were to take the division, you're probably getting the inside track on New England. Therefore, you would have an opportunity at the 1 seed, if not the 2. Everyone's big Packer fans this time around. Big Packer fans. That's what we got to do. But this might be the field. 803-0550 is the number to call. This might be the field to take advantage, even with the flaws that the Bills have. A couple days ago, plenty of people had fun talking about the ceiling that this team has. Their ceiling plus this playoff field could be what gets it done. And can they survive their floor? Against this playoff field, can they survive their floor? New England and Houston have proven to you, no, you cannot. You cannot turn the ball over, get sacked multiple times, and get away with it. But when they are on their game, they are the best team in the AFC. And that's not that hard to say. And it's not very hard to agree with. It's just, can they survive the worst? Get connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, West New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to Mike. Mike, welcome into the Extra Point Show. What you got?
Hey, guys. I'm not afraid of any of our opponents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid of Joe Brady's play calling. I mean, going back to the Houston game, I mean, the play calling and the fourth quarter on third and two, and then you get a yard, and then you hand off to Cook 5 yards in the backfield on fourth and one, and he loses. Same thing at the end of the game. It's a third and one, and instead of just getting the first down with 29 seconds left in a first down, they try a pass. It's incomplete, and now it's fourth down, and they're in the shotgun. Fourth and one. I mean, Josh has been, as his last seven quarterback sneaks, he's gained less than 3 yards 0 times. You go to last week. I mean, the first drive of the game was just a perfect example of him trying to be too cute. They moved the ball down the field, running the ball, short passes, running the ball, and they got a third and two. And at third and two, they try the Josh Allen run that, you know, it's, and not the quarterback sneak, it's that little Josh Allen, I'll go to the side and try to go up the middle, and I lose
the sweep.
3 yards, and
yes.
They're stuck now. And it's four down territory at that point, too. And that's the scary part. It's four down territory. There's no way that they're stopping Josh two straight times on a quarterback sneak. Get your first downs. Get it into the end zone. Stop being so cute with the wide receiver screens and these cute plays. Stick with what's working. Cook's been running great. Josh has been throwing the ball great. You got third and two. It's two downs. Get the first down.
Mike, I appreciate the call, and there's a lot there. The five straight runs to James Cook, including the fifth one where it looks like Cook's trying to take himself out of the game. That was a really egregious one. That Houston game really was a bit of, I might even say that was a bit of a humbling for Joe Brady, because in the Pittsburgh game, he goes to what's working. He's not trying to do anything extra. He's not trying to overthink it, to a point where the Steelers even call out the fact that they succeeded by calling the same play so many times and they just could not stop it. Which really then points to the Steelers at themselves of, we just couldn't stop that. But also when they were passing the ball a little bit, they had added protection. Part of that might have been because of the fact they had two backup tackles in that game. But they also recognized that those were premier edge rushers. We need to have a little bit of an extra protection scheme. And that's something that we learned the hard way against Houston when Dawkins and Brown, fighting through injuries, could not get the job done. Brady did not add extra protection late in that game. To a point where Dawkins is expected to be on an island on said fourth and one and then jumps off sides. All of a sudden it's fourth and six. Pass goes incomplete. Game over. I think that, Mike, you are right ultimately in the fact that I don't know how afraid I am of the rest of the AFC more than I am of the Buffalo Bills. The fear percentage, I think, is that you might accept that the Bills are probably their most dangerous opponent is themselves. And that's very believable based on the four losses that they have this season. Against New England, they turned the ball over three times. There's the Dawson Knox handoff on the first drive of the game. It looks like you're moving the football a little bit here. You get to about midfield and then oopsie daisy. And that's one that actually gets called out. I do believe Coach McDermott does say something about, you know, getting a little too cute sometimes. And you haven't seen that play ever after that, not to a tight end at least. And with Elijah Moore and Curtis Samuel now not on this roster, I doubt you see it anymore this year. So there has been a little bit of correction, it looks like, going on from Joe Brady a little bit here. But the Bills are their biggest enemy, and I think Mike's got that point. New England, you turn it over three times, including that handoff to Knox or the Keon Coleman fumble. The Bills have an offensive pass interference on the play leading up to the Marcus Jones interception in the New England red zone. Against Atlanta, the defense hemorrhages yards and points to a point where the offense, having an off day, can't make up for the ground. Eventually, the defense flexes its muscles in the second half, but the hole they put themselves into in the first two quarters was too much to overcome. Miami, the offense sputters the entire time. And the problem is there's a common theme here. Miami, the offense sputters the entire game until the defense, which has been trying its best to hold on for dear life, the dam breaks in the fourth quarter. And then Houston is, that defense plays incredible. The offense can't really get into much of a rhythm. One ill-fated two-minute drive later that the defense lets up at the end of the first half, and it then ultimately becomes too much to overcome. There was also a missed PAT in that game as well that Buffalo has to go for the touchdown instead of being able to play for overtime in that moment as well. So you can't be doing that either. You can't have the missed extra points. If we're able to say that with Tyler Bass, I should be able to say that with Matt Prater, right? It's the same thing. But the common theme here is what Mike brings up. It's the offense. The offensive play calling. Sometimes Brady gets in his own way. Sometimes it is a little too cute. Sometimes it is frustrating to watch the offense that has Josh Allen, that has James Cook on this roster, and for better or for worse, sometimes it gets away from them. I will say, this is also a hell of a time, though, for you to start getting healthy for the first time in a while. Yes, I know, Ed Oliver, Michael Hoyt out for the season. I know. But the Bills are starting to get a little healthier. All four players that are on the injury report that missed Sunday's game against Cincinnati, they were limited in the walkthrough today, limited in the walkthrough yesterday. We'll see what the reports look like today. Spencer Brown sounds optimistic that he's going to play. Sean McDermott didn't outright dismiss that Bosa could come back. This will be an opportunity. And I think that's the big thing about this. That's why I'm so excited about this game. I'm not dreading anything about New England. I'm very excited about this game. I think it's because of the fact that I've really embraced the fact that this season's a nice reminder that it's not supposed to be as easy as it's been for a majority of the last 5 years. It's not supposed to be that easy. We're all supposed to be reminded of that in a harsh manner. And even the year where they have that downswing in 2023, they still come back and win the division and the two seed. This year might not be that. You lose here, it will not be that. And that's actually a certainty. It's for sure. It's not something that you can get away from at that point. But as chaotic as this season has been, not just for the Bills, but for the entirety of the National Football League. Heck, entering last weekend, the Bears were the one seed in the NFC. The Chicago Bears. New England and Denver are still there winning 11 games. Indianapolis was on a different level, and now they've come crashing down to earth. There is so much, though. Like, the Texans start 0-3, and now they look like one of the most dangerous teams that a division winner could be facing if the playoffs were to begin today. You tell me that New England and Jacksonville don't get nervous about the potential of facing Houston and Buffalo, respectively, in the postseason? That's probably not a good feeling. The Chargers at 9-4. If you were to project it the way that it's going, New England versus Houston, Buffalo at Jacksonville, Chargers at Steelers. It's not out of the realm of possibility that you can go, yeah, I like all three road teams, actually. Houston could frustrate New England with their stifling defense. The Bills should be the better overall team than Jacksonville. They have a similar record, but the Bills have Josh Allen. Jacksonville does not. And the Steelers are 9-8 defined. I would like the Chargers in that game, even with Herbert banged up and them not really having much of an offensive line. That's how weird this year has been. That you can actually realistically look at it and go, I don't hate all three road teams at the first glance over the wild card weekend. We'll see what happens the rest of the way, but I really would suspect that. Carolina's in the mix for the NFC South this year. Realistically, they are right there step in step with Tampa Bay. Dallas isn't all the way dead yet because Philadelphia has fallen off of a map. Who do you trust this year? And I think there's only one answer, and that's the Los Angeles Rams. And even then, they're not the best record in football. They've lost three times. But in the AFC, the Bills are their biggest enemy. And yet, they are the team that you can look at and go, when they're at, when each of these teams, any of them, 1 through 7, is at their best, it's the Bills that you trust the most. That's where you need to take advantage of this. And it goes back to that Nick Wright clip, pressure. I still see it more as optimism and opportunity. In a crazy year, why not the Bills? Basically, is how you'd want to be able to frame that. Why not the Bills finally breaking through? It would make sense. Their biggest bugaboo not being in the playoffs with Kansas City. And the fact that the Bills don't have, I would say, the greatest of quarterback roster that they've beaten. Lamar Jackson twice, who has proven to not be a playoff performer more times than not. Skylar Thompson, Mac Jones, Bo Nix, Phillip Rivers. That's the list. Right now, if the seeding were to be where it is, you could add Trevor Lawrence to that list. I'd say confidently. Or it could be, what? If they move up, 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers? I do still find it funny, though, now, Joe, that the list is now all active quarterbacks again. Yeah. Phillip Rivers is active, and that is still... Talking more about the season and how crazy it's been. Phillip Rivers might start right away.
Might. I mean, it looks like he is going to with the injuries they have in the quarterback room. It turned into a nightmare really quick for them.
Riley Leonard did participate in full with his knee injury, so...
He did. So maybe they will go with him, but I don't think you bring in Phillip Rivers...
To not play.
To not, yeah.
Maybe not here this week... But he might close the season.
Well, they might. I mean, they're still very alive in the playoff push, right? So, like, maybe they do think he's the best chance to win, and they do put him in right away.
If he's their best chance to win.
I'd say he is. I mean, you would put him, veteran talent, over a rookie any day of the week, would you not?
A late-round rookie as well.
Yeah, right.
I believe Leonard was a sixth-round pick?
Yeah, it
was. Or was he?
I'm not 100% positive.
I'm going to look that up real quick.
I would put veteran talent like Rivers, who understand, and
rumor, it's been 5 years.
Well, yeah, but rumor has it. I mean, he was running the Colts offense with the team he was coaching. So, yes.
That should not matter.
So, I don't know. I think he's your
best
option.
Sixth round pick,
Riley
Leonard, by the way.
He's your best option, Rivers.
I don't.
Leonard, sixth round pick versus a guy who's a Hall of Fame candidate. Right, like,
but it's been 5 years.
It's been 5 years, sure, but the arm is your last thing to go in a lot of cases. Minus two, every other quarterback it's been, other than Breeze and other than Peyton Manning. Like, you're looking for a playoff push.
They had notable
injuries
and surgeries, though. Those two,
sure.
Those two had no. Like, when you say the arm's the last thing to go, outside of two guys that you could point out there, Breeze, it finally catches him, but it until how long?
Well, right. Yeah,
Manning, the neck surgery. That's an upper body. Until how long? Tom Brady's arm never had to have anything surgically operated.
No, and he was 45, so he was older than Phillip Rivers when he last played.
Yes.
And then Aaron Rodgers, his arm is still there, more than there.
But
he's thrown the longest pass.
Tom Brady's also a one of one, though. I don't know how much I'd be able to suspect that Phillip Rivers is going to be able to get a job done here after not playing for 5 years and being 44 and being a statue quarterback, which outside of Jared Goff, and it's dead. Even Stafford can make a move.
What's Daniel Jones been the past 2 weeks?
Daniel Jones is a more... Oh, I see what you're doing here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and what has happened?
Well,
they've been bad.
That's because they made him play on the fractured fibula, and he overcompensated and was stepping with the right side of his foot.
They should have already been calling Rivers by that point. Well, if he's playing on a fractured leg...
Yeah, the fibula only carries 10% of your weight, so you are technically... He was medically cleared to play on it, so...
Yeah,
it
but pain is a real thing.
Sure, I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying...
And it probably affected how he was planting at that point.
Right. But that's why he was overcompensating with the right foot and tore his Achilles. Like
that's exactly how it happened.
So, like, I think they were playing fine with the statue quarterback. And Rivers, I mean...
They lost the two games with him not moving, though.
I mean, sure, but also...
Daniel Jones's best attribute in his entire career has not been throwing the football. It's how he's able to run around.
yeah, I think you're just out of options, and Phillip Rivers is the best one. I think that's where you're at that point.
Yeah, I just...
Cam Newton was hurt. Did you see that?
Yeah, his feelings were hurt about it, yes.
Yeah.
But...
That they didn't call him first before 44-year-old Rivers?
The guy knew the playbook. You didn't. That's the end of the story there, I guess.
No Zoom. He was thrilled about that, too. But
that just tells you more about the wacky season that is going on here. The Colts have fallen out of a playoff spot. They've now tapped on the shoulder of Phillip Rivers, who's also now going to wear the number 17. If he starts right away,
I think he's gonna, and they're putting him up against Seattle, so he's gonna get murked. I will say the last two games we were talking about Daniel Jones being a statue. It was against the Texans defense, so that's an immediate like you're done for,
right?
And then the Chiefs, Chris Jones was getting home, so like okay, but they still against the Falcons they won 31-25. Like I don't know, like I don't.
That has more to do with Atlanta than Indianapolis.
Sure, but they also, I don't know. I think Rivers does fit kind of what they can do. Their O-line isn't terrible. It'd be worse if the Chargers called him back and were like, hey, Herbert's down. We need Phillip Rivers back. With the Joe Alt out and everything like that, that would be an issue.
That it would be worse if he was in L.A. I do agree with that.
But like the Colts' front line actually can hold up. So I think he'll be okay. I genuinely do. He might... If he can still throw, which I don't think they would have called him if they didn't think he could, and you're seeing practice videos and he's still throwing it just fine, just what's his playing weight going to be? You know? Like, that's the big question. He's like, I don't even know right now. It's a lot more than it was when it walked off the field in Buffalo. It's not what it was, whatever he said.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I think it's funnier than anything.
It's again, it leans into how wacky and just different this season is, and that's it speaks to the AFC playoff field. I really do think that this is a great opportunity. Some may see it as pressure. I'm going to sit back and go, I like my odds. I might eat my words, but wouldn't be the first time now, would it?
Oh, I like the odds too for the Bills.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll take a timeout. Come on back here. As we keep things going, hanging around here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Yeah, we are chasing them. They've had a bull's eye on their back for, you know, really since they probably took it over the first year. You want to be, you know, division champs. You know, Coach said it like at the beginning of the year, like you said, you know, win a division. And everybody probably says that around the league in their own, you know, first squad meeting, you want to win the division. But pretty cool how that's come to, you know, reality. And we're here, you know, standing right here with a chance to do that.
Drake May. Patriots quarterback Drake May. Did you see what he said about comparisons to Josh Allen? Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Joe's out today. Derek Kramer's sitting in for a little bit. Owen Parker is here, not Owen Power. Sometimes I do that. And if Owen Power were here, the chat would be a little bit more animated. They usually yell about Owen Power a lot. Dan Dale producing. Good morning. Happy Football Friday. It's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, call the 8s, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel. Game day ready since 1922. Got a couple of callers to get to. And real quick, Tim, Brian will get right to you. But I want to bring up what Drake May said about comparisons to Josh Allen. Have you guys seen what he said?
Well, just to be the target audience here, I'm going to say no.
Thank you.
That's how you play the game.
That's how you play the game.
Derek's a veteran. He knows.
People don't, like, not everyone sees it, not everyone hears it. So to play the target audience here, sure.
No. What did he say?
Sure, what did he say?
Here's what he said. I think it gives you guys something to talk about. I think I'm a long ways away from playing like him. He's the best in the game. You believe the nerve of this guy, Drake May? How dare you? How dare you?
I'm over here sitting like, good answer.
How dare you not give us something to say? He's out here being
nice.
He's deferring.
Polite.
Calling him the best in the game. That's bulletin board material.
Blasphemy.
He doesn't want to give bulletin board material. That's how little he respects the...
Where's the hate?
What an answer. What an answer.
From the franchise that had Emperor Palpatine himself. Let the hate flow through you. Come on, man.
He is... I guess he and Allen have kind of struck up a little bit of a relationship off the field because they have the same agent. So anyway, they're not helping each other. And Allen said that this week. Like, I'm not helping him, but you know, I know him. Definitely don't help him. He looks like he's doing all right. Don't help him. Anyway, Bills and Patriots, Sunday, 1 o'clock. Sean McDermott will join Sal coming up in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll be listening to see if there's any sort of update on Christian Benford, who was limited at practice because of something that popped up and was seen wearing a bit of a walking boot shoe situation. I don't know. Are we monitoring for turf toe? I don't know. So we'll see what Sean McDermott has to say, and hopefully he's good to go. And it was just some sort of precautionary thing. Ed Oliver missed games because he got stepped on this year. That happened. Also this morning, if you're waking up checking your fantasy scores and you played against Kyle Pitts, maybe go back to bed. Not a great day. Kyle Pitts scored 7% of his career fantasy points last night.
Boss, I'm out for the day. Why? What's going on?
Pitts.
Kyle Pitts.
Right, Pitts. I can't make it today. Pitts. 803-0550. All right, Bills and Patriots, you want to give us a prediction, a thought on the game? I like how much does it mean. For me, it's almost like a, you know, keeping the division race alive and beating a good team like New England, I think, is a good team, would be nice. If they lose, though, I don't know if we're thinking much differently. I don't know if I am. The Bills are likely to go on the road in this postseason. They've yet to win a road game in the Josh Allen, Sean McDermott era. They don't have any road playoff wins. So they're probably going to have to get at least one anyway. The question is, will they have to get two or three? Will it be a wild card round? We'll see. And I also will admit to having a small part of me, and this might be like a defense mechanism or whatever, a small part of me thinks that someone to push you directly in division might be good for you. It might be good for you. And you need look no further. I'm not questioning like Allen's motivations here at all. Like Allen has reserved his best games for the best quarterbacks he plays against. His best games are against Lamar and Mahomes and Burrow and Baker. Like are those the best games he's played this year? So maybe he brings out the best against Drake May and kind of apply that mindset to, all right, there's somebody in our division. We can't slow play anything. It's time to push a little more. It's time to get more aggressive in an off season to try and, you know, go after, grab that brass ring, as they say. Go a little harder. So I think New England's presence can ultimately be more challenging for the Bills, but what? Pick your metaphor. Iron sharpens iron.
I just think it's more fun.
It depends how many times they lose. But I mean, you're right. You're right. I don't disagree with that. I think it could lead to more high-stakes games as opposed to like the division just being a walk like it has been for about 4 or 5 years.
And then maybe we get some meaner comments from Drake May in the future. You know, like, you know,
we'll
it's
see.
Fun to have the hate. And, of course, depending on how much they win. But to have the old enemy back, I don't want to say necessarily that it feels good, but it definitely leads to more chaos.
That said, at Defector.com, one of my favorites, Drew McGarry, wrote a piece about how everyone has to root for the Bills now just because, like, we cannot enter a world where New England is back on top. Like, that can't happen. America needs the Bills to make sure that New England does not get back to the mountaintop. Tim and Clarence is up to lead us off this hour. Hey, Tim, good morning. Happy Football Friday.
Good morning, guys. That was very interesting what you guys just said. I don't think, personally, I've been a long-time listener, 70 years old,
all right.
Football. They've won 10 straight. But I was watching ESPN the other night, and they had the list of quarterbacks that they've beaten. And there weren't very many top-tier quarterbacks that they've beaten in those 10 wins. I like Mike Vrabel, but this kid, you know, this team is not the team that beat us by a measly 3 points earlier in the year. They can't, they're worse than us. They're just as worse as we are with stopping the run, according to the thing. But
yeah, for the last month, they've had trouble stopping the run. They lost their big name defensive tackle Milton Williams, and since he's gone out, they've had big problems.
Yes, they have. And number two is, I just want to make a point, is this kid, our quarterback, he said, screw it, last weekend, I'm taking this game over. And I could not, I mean, what a performance. And this kid's the real deal, Josh. And I love Josh. I love the Bills. I love listening to you guys. And thanks for having me on the radio. Be good. Do good. God bless. Go Bills.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Tim. No notes, right? I don't, yeah.
No
thanks.
Notes.
Thanks for chiming
Sometimes
in.
It's clean.
Josh Allen said, screw this. That's pretty much what we want to see, right? We love seeing Josh go superhero mode. It is funny. Like, we got this relationship with watching him play where if he does it too many games in a row, it's like, he shouldn't have to do that so much. But then he does, like, three games without it. It's, where's the superhero act? I want to see it in the playoffs again. I want to see an offense that does not limit him, which I think they've had the last couple of years in the playoffs. I think they've limited him. So hopefully the approach this time around is a bit different. Brian in Buffalo is up next. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How about two in a row for the Sabres? Can I get a winning streak of three in a row? Anyways, you guys have brought it up, the arrogant Patriot fan, throughout the week. I spent a year going to graduate school in Springfield, Mass. I have cousins there, and they are all running their mouths as typical arrogant Boston fans, which has been fun. Because they've been dead silent for 5 years. So that's point one. Point two is, I hate to break your news to Buffalo fans, they are not winning the division. Let's get that out of our heads. We are not getting the one seed. Too many teams to jump over. Just get in, try to lock in on that five seed, and pray that we're playing Pittsburgh in the first round. Secondly, I think the Bills do win this game. I think they have, obviously, we have Superman, and Drake May is kind of he's pretty damn good himself, but I don't necessarily know how good New England is at this point. The last caller alluded to who they've beaten. That's not New England's fault either, who they play, their schedule. It is what it is. They've won 10 in a row. That's a significant win streak in the NFL, but I just think that Josh Allen is the reason why the Bills win this weekend, and then, like you guys said, the defensive tackle's out, so Cook goes crazy. This team, as long as they don't turn the ball over, will be good. And then conversely, just playing devil's advocate here, I don't trust McDermott. I don't like McDermott. I think he should have been fired after 13 seconds. He's too conservative. The defensive timeout just to get a look every game. He's a terrible game manager. He plays that soft cover two zone or the soft zone all the time, and he's not – I don't find him to be an in-game making adjustments on the fly like a Belichick did back in the day. Obviously, that's probably an unfair comparison to one of the greatest coaches of all time, but Vrabel gets it. The guy's, he's what I would want as a coach in Buffalo. When Sean Payton was available, I think the Bills made a huge mistake in not giving Sean Payton a blank check. That's a genius that he is. And letting McDermott go.
Yeah.
But, hey, fingers crossed, let's go. Go Bills, like the last guy said. Go Bills, do good. God bless, whatever the hell the line is. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Brian. I don't think McDermott and Vrabel are very different at all. I think they're very similar. I think they are good CEO, face of the franchise, front door of the franchise kind of things, where they run the operation. They both have a lot of success. Vrabel has done it with quarterbacks that are not exactly Josh Allen, but the rest of what you said, like, I feel I have to go back. What's today? Thursday. If I go back 5 days, I can see counterpoints to kind of everything you said, that McDermott is conservative. They were not conservative against Cincinnati at all. They were very aggressive in that game on offense, going for four fourth downs, getting three of them. They were very important moments where they went for those fourth downs. Defensively, they made a big change from the first half to the second half, got a lot more aggressive. From a game management standpoint, he does have these games where we remember. 13 seconds is the big one. Right. What's the second worst game management situation? What is it? Is it Houston last year, where they threw the ball three times and people wanted them to run it, and he wanted them to run it, but Brady called three passes, or I don't know, maybe Josh checked into passes. Like, I think the he's bad at game management reputation, personally, I think that is very much overblown. There are a lot of coaches that are horrific at game management. Todd Bowles is one of them. Mike Tomlin is one of them.
Oh, yeah.
McDermott is not terrible at that stuff. I don't love the squandering timeouts for defensive Kodak moments either. I think that can be troublesome, and maybe we see that come up and bite them again. But obviously, like, 13 seconds is that's on the marquee at the theater. But what's the second one? What's the third one? What's the fourth one? Maybe I can't remember them because 13 seconds has so much ownership over this conversation. But I don't know. I think Nate was in yesterday and coined the phrase Sean McDermott derangement syndrome. And like, not, Brian, like, you're entitled to your opinion, but 13 seconds is clouding a lot of it because you go to 13 seconds and then like half the other stuff you said, it's just, I don't think it's realistic. I don't think it's accurate compared to his peers. I think he's a decent game manager. I think he gets aggressive when he needs to. That's one thing that the Cincinnati game showed me is when he sees a game where aggression is going to be the thing you need, maybe you'd like it all the time, and I might like it a little bit more. But compared to his peers, everything needs to be compared to his peers. And from a game management standpoint, I do not think he is a disaster at all. I think he's probably pretty good.
It's also 4 years ago now.
It's a long time.
And there's been some change in McDermott and his style since then. That is part of the evolution of a head coach and being more of the facilitator, the CEO type of head coach. He's had to dip his foot back in with the defensive play calling a little bit this year and helping out Babich, but he is now more of just the front man. He's more of a delegator. This is not just, it's his defense. He's heavily involved anymore. Now he only gets involved when he feels that he has to help out.
And when he has done that, he did that this year. It got better. Like, the play calling improved. It got better.
Yeah.
And defensively, like, again, like, it needs to be pointed out what they're doing it with from a talent standpoint on their defense. They have guys they signed to the practice squad playing important reps. They have depth guys playing. A lot of their plans on defense did not work out, and they are on the plan B and plan C and plan D in some spots and trying their best to hold it together. I mean, is he perfect? No. And, you know, every time someone wants to call about another coach, like, I'd listen to plenty of answers. There's how realistic is it and who's available. Do you want to fire him for Jesse Minter, who's a hot coaching name? He's the Chargers defensive coordinator. Like, I don't think you want to do that. If you just want to go with an offensive mind, like, okay, you're going to just fire Sean McDermott for Clint Kubiak of Seattle, who might be a hot name. Like, these are not things I think is realistic options.
And not to mention, any new coordinator that gets hired as a head coach could ultimately prove to be one of those guys. A great coordinator, bad head coach.
Could be. I do tend to think that when you have Josh Allen as your quarterback, your floor is probably like 10 wins, maybe 9 wins. But Ryan in West Seneca. Hey, Ryan, good morning.
Guys, couple things. First off, love you guys. Listen to you guys every single day.
Thank you.
What I know you guys are number freaks. I tried to Google this and I couldn't. What are the percentages of a team in the NFL to win that 11th game in a row? No matter who it is. I know it's New England and we want the Bills to win Sunday and to be that person to knock them off the 11-game win streak. But what are the winning percentage chances of an NFL team to win that 11th game? And secondly, what do you guys think with the Bills with their current record? Is this at, above, or below where you guys thought they'd be at this point in the season? And I'll let you guys go and I'll listen.
Thanks, Ryan. Is it cheating to say they're probably right about where we thought they would be record-wise? Like, I probably didn't think they would lose to Miami and Atlanta, but I thought they might lose to Baltimore and Kansas City. Like, I picked them to lose to Baltimore in the opener. I picked them to lose to Kansas City. I picked them to beat Atlanta and beat Miami. So they're probably right about where they should be. And, you know, when your quarterback is as good as this one is, like, you just I probably think you're going to be in the mix no matter what. Right? The window's always open as long as he's your quarterback. He covers up a lot of your flaws. In terms of how likely you are to win an 11th game in a row, I don't know if there's any way to calculate that. I would want to calculate it based on how good your opponent is. Like, if the Patriots were playing the Titans, their chances of winning their 11th in a row would be much, much higher than if they're playing the Bills or the Rams.
It'd be pretty good. It's always different every time, too. Pittsburgh, when they started 11-0 a couple years ago.
Yeah, we knew they were bad.
They looked incredibly fraudulent. Everyone just slapped the tag on there, and they were proven right. But New England's not really being looked at like that. It's just, okay, you've played a soft schedule, but you have earned some tough wins in there as well. They're peppered in. So it's always different every time. The odds aren't going to be the same. They're all subjective relative to the year.
Yep.
And the opponent, as you had also mentioned.
To a previous caller that said, you know, the one seed's not going to happen, let me just run a scenario by you.
Here we go.
Right? I'm at the New York Times playoff machine. I've not clicked very many things at all. What I've done is given the Bills, they run the table, which if they beat New England, I think they will run the table. I think they'll beat the Eagles and the Browns and the Jets. New England loses to the Dolphins in the last game of the season. I think that is possible. Miami is running the ball very well. New England's having trouble stopping the run. They played earlier in the season, and it was a close game, and Devin Achane stepped out of bounds, and if he didn't, he scores the game-winning touchdown.
That's right.
Or seals that game. So just, all right. So just give me the Bills get the division. Do you want to know what the New York Times playoff machine gives them as their chance to be the one seed? If that plays out, if they run the table and New England loses in the final game of the season, the chances the Bills have the one seed, according to the New York Times playoff machine, 45%.
That's not terrible.
It is not terrible. And, of course, the team that's in the driver's seat for that is the Broncos. Do you know who the Broncos play this week? They play the Packers.
That's right, yeah. Green Bay.
Okay. Who do the Broncos play the following week? They play the Jaguars. Okay. Who do the Broncos play after that? They play the Chiefs. I don't know if Denver is a lock to stay up there either. And then Denver finishes out with the Chargers. I guess the real question is, do I have Jacksonville in the one seed? Was that what this is looking at?
I mean, if Buffalo wins out, they'd be able to challenge that as well with Jacksonville. And Jacksonville does have the edge in conference record. That's a shame.
If the Jags run the table, they aren't like they might look like they're in good shape for the one seed. They've been good lately. They've been good.
What's Jacksonville's schedule looking like?
Honestly, go look at who they've beaten. They have the same thing as the Patriots. They've not beaten anybody impressive in a while, Jacksonville. They beat Houston on a fluky play.
Well, unfortunately, the rest of their schedule
is not.
Sorry,
they lost to Houston on a fluky play.
The rest of their schedule is not really that impressive either. Outside of the game against the Broncos, they face the Jets, Colts, and Titans, and we'll see what Indy looks like with Phillip Rivers.
Right. Jacksonville could finish with a higher seed than the Bills. It wouldn't be nuts at all. And
could you imagine making a run for the one seed and then Jacksonville's the team that takes it away?
It's another team that people are not going to take seriously until they start winning some playoff games. They are 9-4, much like the Bills are. And as you point out, their conference record, they are 6-2 in the conference, and the Bills are 6-3. And we're going to get tiebreakers, who knows? Anyway, run the table, win the division, you're 45% to get the one seed. That's not dead. And it starts on Sunday. 803-0550, it's a Football Friday. We'll check in with Chris Brown, get his thoughts on this game as we continue our preview. It's Bills and Patriots. That was Who Needs to Get Results, brought to you by Dan Chacha, Injury Attorneys. Don't worry, Chacha's gotcha. Who needs to get results? The Bills. They need to get those wins, knock off the Patriots, run the table, and, you know, have a sniff at the one. By the way, the two's not bad. Let's consider that. I know you have to play an extra game, but if it really is truly wide open, maybe it's a year where you're going to host the AFC Championship game as the two. Could happen. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe. Joe's out today. Chris Brown coming up next here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We'll be right back.
All right, winter weather has struck Western New York, but it hasn't stopped the tailgate tag along. Steve, there is Skyway chili and venison on the menu today.
I know, and here's the thing. It was a little cold. I had to have a warm-up cigar before we got started, so bear with us. It's going to be fun, though. The food's going to be great, I know.
The weather will not impact us one bit. Roll out!
Let's go! So let me ask you, let me just say, very nice spot. How long have you been here?
Since Ralph Wilson died.
Okay.
Really?
Since Ralph passed away? 2014, so that's like 11 years, 12 years?
Yeah. Before that, I parked across the road over there. Uh-huh. Okay. And so then a house burned down there. And
I got you.
Wet. And we moved here.
I will just say, this is a very nice place.
I've been in this area since 1986.
All right, so David, you impressed us with your venison on the menu.
I got to tell you, not my medicine. Fred Yates from Geneseo.
Okay. Oh, Geneseo, love it.
He got up and met me on the way here to make sure.
I appreciate the dedication.
Look at that.
Okay.
That's chili.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Some beans over here.
Yeah, you can. Green beans? No.
Greens and beans.
Okay. I almost got forced to eat green bean casserole at Thanksgiving last week. I wasn't doing that either.
Brownie, the cops are here for you. Oh, no.
Pulling me over? This is hard to do with a microphone in your hand.
I know. I got a clink.
There you go. You ready?
Here we go. Yep. Oh. Perfect.
Oh, the
sauce, great.
You know what? The sausage helps.
Sausage gives it.
Venison, yeah.
Gives it some girth. It's good. Oh yeah, this is excellent.
That sauce is.
I don't like pasta. These type of things, unless it.
That sauce is like sweet. It's got like a sweet. What's the secret?
I have no idea. Fred makes it.
Wait. Hold on. I just ate something that you don't know what's in it.
Nope. Not at all.
Not at all.
Other than the venison sausage.
Are you going to eat it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Then that's better. So you have another dish we got to try as well,
chili?
Right? This is the chili.
Love it.
There you go. You can throw it.
Give me a little more. Get a little meat in there for me. Yeah. That's good. Thank you.
Just give me the rest of that ladle, right? Yeah, that's perfect. Right. Perfect.
There's some cheese there.
All right, I'll throw some cheese on.
Get in here so these guys can get this all in one shot. Right, here we go.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's got a nice smoke on it. There's a definite smoke flavor.
I love that.
All right.
And they're very different.
Yeah.
Very different.
This is smoky.
That's sweet. Do you
put some pepper in there for the smoke?
So you do know what's in the chili?
Yes, I do know what's in
the chili. I appreciate that.
This is
old family recipe.
And I carry a
David, well done.
All the time.
Well done.
See in my top pocket.
Wegmans wants us to thank you for letting us sample some of your food fare. So that's from them. So you can replenish for the next tailgate and be ready since you said you don't miss these games. So you'll be at the next one.
Only his family for Christmas miss.
I'd vote for me too.
Or one time sick.
Yeah, I got it. Well, Merry Christmas to you guys. Good to see you all.
Brent, let me just say they're way up on my priority list. This is one of my favorites because they gave me a cigar. Just putting that out there. I don't want to say anything.
He's easy to please. He's too easy.
I can be bought. One, two, three.
Go Bills!
There we go. All right, on to the next one. Look at this.
That's what I'm talking about.
Come on.
Well, let's see these.
I might hit the flank steak.
Yeah, let's try the flank
steak. Take a slice of that.
Look at this. Let me just say, preparation is key. This little tiered system here, I like it.
Well, get us some utensils out of there while you're over there. What are you doing?
All right. You got me on that one. I should have been on.
He's got toasted buns.
We got garlic oil toasted.
Garlic oil toasted bread.
Crostinis.
All right, so how long you been setting up here?
We got here at 6:45 this morning.
I'm talking about how many years have you been setting up here?
Oh, me? Just 5 years. I moved here 5 years ago.
Moved here 5 years ago?
Awesome. Yeah. So were you? You grew up a Bills fan, or?
I grew up a Bills fan. I'm a complicated story.
All right. So where were you? Where were you before moving here?
Northern Maryland. I was in near Hanover, PA.
Steve says, a pilgrim in an unholy land.
Unholy land. Welcome to home.
Me and my friend here. I met him on Instagram, and I saw his chicken wings, and I go, everything you cook looks way better than mine. You have to come teach me. Now we co-own a barbecue company together. It's funny, he comes here every week, and he kept coming back week after week, going, you and your friends are great people. Everyone's very warming, accepting. And it turns out he can cook like this, so why wouldn't you invite him
That's
back?
Right. You're like the first guy on the list to get invited, right?
Yep. I mean,
seasoned little French bread. We did a garlic-infused olive oil.
Okay.
Toasted them on the grill really fast. Just gave them a good sear. Then we got a flank steak. It's got some Girls Mafia all-purpose rub on there. A little of our Q42
there you
coffee
go.
Rub on there.
Reed Ferguson will like
that. Don't stop. Help me out, Brownie. And how much of it? Just a little of this, right?
Whatever you love.
Yeah, give me a little spoonful of that, because this is looking dynamite.
You guys come in and grab one, too. I'm going to...
There we go, Steve. You ready?
Here we go. Yeah, this is all going in. Here we
You're
go.
You're going down the hatch, whole
Here
thing?
We go. Yeah. Mm. Oh, I love it.
Good flavor?
Oh, my
God. I got to say, for a tailgate, it's very high-end. Very high-end.
That's been our thing, is we want to bring high-end food to a tailgate atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, my God.
Flank steak with the yeah. Oh, there's a lot in that. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. So good. So you guys, is this a favorite dish or is this a one of a bunch?
One of a bunch.
We scatter a lot of different dishes around the course of a season. We try to tailor some things to who we're playing. Right. Earlier this year when New Orleans came to town, we did po' boys and jambalaya.
Nice.
But realistically, it's just, can we feed a crowd? Because food makes people happy. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I got to say, doing these stories, Brownie, you know this too. It's really, I tell people who come in, I go, just drop by a tailgate. They'll feed you.
Yeah.
And they'll be friendly and you make some new friends.
I got to say, though, the bread on the bottom of that, it hits you at the end because, you know, the steak's on your palate first.
The olive oil is perfect, yeah.
And then the layer of the bread at the end.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's such a great chaser to the meat. I'm going to have one more.
Go with the medium rare cut here.
Oh, yeah. The medium rare.
No, you got to do that. Can't be past medium. But medium rare, even better.
So how many years you been coming to the Bills games? Just five?
Since the 90s.
Just since the 90s.
I used to come up once a year.
Oh, okay.
Since 93.
What game from way back is your favorite?
When we beat the Dolphins for the AFC East, 95, I believe.
Big game. 95 division title.
Yeah. I don't remember. Was I around then?
Yes, you were.
Okay, all right.
No, you're on the field.
Okay, cool.
You were in the game.
Cool.
So we do a stupid football podcast, and one of the dumbest things I've ever said on air was that I always thought you were a linebacker because the way your physicality did not match wide receiver status, the way you played the game. So in my head as a kid, you were a linebacker playing special teams, and I just blacked out all the touchdown passes you caught.
This deserved an encore. It's good. And well done.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Mm.
That's super duper. Really good stuff.
Well,
well done, guys. Proud of you.
Proud of you. So, what's for the Philly game?
Philly game, Philly cheesesteaks.
Yeah, we'll
of course.
Cheesesteaks.
I'm going to do a little chuck, though, and you braise it. You got to season it, braise it, slow cook it, let it fall apart, and then you're going to sear it hot and fast with a little smoked provolone, peppers and onions, and then you're going to put it inside of a
You start talking to a cook, and you can't shut them up.
Yeah.
Right?
So the good people at Wegmans, who kind of support our tailgate tag-along, want to support you as well. So that's to help you refortify the supply that we just chowed down for your next tailgate,
awesome.
All right? So you can pick up your Philly cheesteak needs.
Absolutely.
At Wegmans next week for the next home game.
Merry
Christmas, guys.
Thanks for
having us.
Go Bills on three. One, two, three.
Go Bills!
Thanks, guys.
That was super. All right, this is the last tailgate tag-along before Christmas. Bill's got a couple of roadies before they're home for week 17 and 18. Eagles-Jets. I wonder what the weather will be like then.
Probably just like this.
Or worse.
Or worse. It might be worse.
It's not bad today. It's a nice light snow, and we had a lot of fun warming up with some really warm food, that venison goulash and the chili over there, and then
the flank steak
awesome. Was outstanding.
Yeah, it'll be today's chilly. It might be cold after Christmas.
You think it might be chilly?
I think
it might be chilly, yeah.
Here we go.
That's it for this edition of the Tailgate Tag-Along. We'll see you after Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everybody.
And our thanks to Wegmans, the official tailgate headquarters of the Buffalo Bills, available now exclusively at Wegmans. Bring the Storm ice cream for a limited time only. Enter the Bring the Storm sweepstakes to win a Wegmans and Buffalo Bills and Rivalries prize pack. See details in the ice cream aisle at participating Wegmans. No purchase necessary. Going to take a call here before we go to break to Ken in Buffalo. What do you got for us, Ken?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Tuesday still brimming and beaming over a very, very meaningful win against the Cincinnati Bengals. Incidentally, with all due respect, among your colleagues who I won't mention on air, they have the nerve to suggest that this was not a quote-unquote big win because according to them, had the Bills lost, they would have still been in the playoff hunt, which I found to be plumb ridiculous because had we lost the game, then Houston would have leapfrogged us from, you know, from the sixth position. We would have fell to the seventh, and then in a sort of fight with the Indianapolis Colts, which yeah. are similarly situated at 8-5. But to cut to the chase, it was a big win, and to see our team evolve like they did. And in particular, I was impressed with, as you all noted, how well we played with Josh under center. I think people lose sight of the fact that he's one of the best play-action quarterbacks in the game, has been, and the fact that this sort of alignment and this approach to offense has been underutilized. But clearly, I thought Joe Brady was at his best in utilizing 12 and 13 personnel, in particular presenting a strong run look, but to use the play action to pivot was a great look. On the other hand, as you all noted, the fact that Benford has emerged as this great blitzing defensive back. I thought they were creative and realizing they had to change up the blitz looks, and he's really adept at disguising when he's coming. So I think that's something to look forward to. But to get to the heart of your question, which I'd like to believe this is a segue, as to the playoff picture, I think that this picture looks better than what we've had to look at in the past, in the sense that it doesn't appear as though Mahomes is going to be there. It may come to pass that Lamar Jackson may not be there. But as it stands today, in terms of the current picture, if the playoffs started today, Josh Allen is easily the best quarterback in the playoff format as it sits now. And I don't know that it's going to change dramatically. So I think that advantage in and of itself should yeah. propel us going forward. Additionally, the fact that he played so well and put on a cape without doing too much, but stayed within himself, not making any careless mistakes, is certainly something to feel good about. And to think that our run defense has come along as it has. And even though Joe Burrow had a very, very good passing game, he still was held to less than 300 yards. So those sort of indicators to me suggest that this team is poised right now to really make a push. This week's game against New England will be very pivotal, and I think it's an opportunity for us to serve notice that we are not only still in the race, but the AFC East crown is still within reach. So I look forward to how this week plays out, and I think the playoff picture looks very promising for us going forward.
All right. Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, it was a meaningful game. I think not that they just won, but the way they won and how they looked, it gave Bills fans a little bit of a glimpse of the things we've seen this team be good at in the past, they're still good at. Well, Josh, mostly. The defense is playmaking, can churn out some turnovers, and the team wins because their offense is really efficient. Even the fact that they blew two touchdowns, which is really 10 points they left on the field. They got a field goal out of the Ty Johnson trip and stumble. But if you take that as a touchdown and the James Cook as a touchdown, if they get in the end zone down at the other end, that's 10 extra points they put on the board on that defense. But really, because of their own mistakes, they didn't. And you still win and score 39 points doing it. It was a good day offensively, and I think that gives Bills fans who maybe have had some doubts about where this team could go maybe a little bit of a glimpse of a little bit more hope about how
the team that likes to finish strong. They've done it before, yeah. So I don't know if I'd rule it out. I think they could do it again. Break time for us. One segment to go. We'll be back in a flash here on One Bills Live. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.